Welcome to this week's episode of You Must Be Joking with me, Eric Lawler.
And me, Will Arwee.
And today's guest is one of the sharpest wits in Irish comedy. A writer, a podcaster, a stand-up comedian who could turn absolute chaos into perfectly crafted punchlines. You'll know him from the stage, screen, and his brilliantly honest takes on life, love, and everything in between. He's quick, fearless, and dangerously funny. Please welcome the one and only, Gerard Faraday!
That's made my day.
Best introduction you've ever got.
That's the best.
You could just go home now, couldn't you?
That's amazing.
I'm available. Anyone else wants me to do anything?
That's why he does all the introductions. I just see him, I just go, put €2 into the back of his neck. You, yeah. Eric.
And you have crust.
Yeah.
What crust?
Oh, you get excited when you start doing them. I go,
yeah, you do feel really good about yourself. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I did make the right decision. In terms of a pension, I'll die penniless. But yeah.
Yeah. Come here, we eventually have you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And great to see you. We all go way back.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, like, I was only thinking that, Gerard, when we started a couple of years before you, but we were doing the Axis, the House of Fun, and I think where you came probably to one of those early shows, I think, one of the House of Fun comedy club nights, I think it was.
Oh my gosh, yeah, because they were, I just lived across the park.
Yeah. And your dad was involved with the Axis for a while.
My dad was the project... Or I don't know what his title was, but he was one of the project managers of Ballymunner Generation.
Robbery Generation. Yeah.
So he was around, all the time. But, oh my God, those House of Fun gigs, they were just brilliant. I was thinking today, it was backstage at one of them that some PJ and you told me about Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
It was backstage at one of those gigs and you were like, yeah, Twitter, people just write little jokes. And I was like, you know, maybe I'll join Twitter. And I joined Twitter backstage.
I'm so sorry, girl. So sorry. I feel like I have to apologise.
I kind of blame you for everything that's going on in the world.
I have stopped. I haven't used Twitter in about 5 years now. I just deleted my account. Yeah, I can't be dealing with this.
And I'm still barred off it.
And you're still barred off it.
Why are you barred?
Oh, I've told this story loads of times. I made a comment that Ricky Gervais has put up for his 50th birthday. And he got a mug with, you're 50 now, you see you next Tuesday. Right? And I wrote underneath the comment, maybe now, Ricky, it's time to move to Cuntsville. That was it. That was the comment.
I've been banned for about 3 years.
And they barred me off the bleeding pit.
I reckon there's a way of getting around that, Will.
I've done loads of stuff. I've sent emails and all.
I like sending emails.
How threatening were the emails?
Yeah.
If you fuckers
see
don't.
You.
Pictures of Chucky in them going like that and all. That's what it was. Do you still use it?
No.
It's gone. Yeah, it's gone. X. People have just went.
Oh, it's a cesspit. Gerard's a busy man. He's putting his endeavours and his efforts into more fruitful, productive things. He doesn't spend his time on social media. He's writing TV shows. He's writing stand-up comedy specials. He's writing stuff for his podcast. Ah, stop. You're too successful, Gerard. Too successful.
Yeah, I've written a lot of TV shows that never got made.
But you should do your own.
It's a great way to waste a year.
But the fact that you're in that process, I think, is amazing.
It's great. Like, it's all very exciting. Yeah. I think the job that we do is exciting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. And it kind of opens doors to other things, apart from just standing on a stage telling jokes. It opens doors for, like, you've written pilots and stuff for TV that have been accepted and they've been...
Yeah, they've been accepted and then COVID happened and
keep knocking on that door,
girl.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Somebody goes on maternity leave and then it all just goes to shit.
Can we have her back, one that was on maternity leave, please? Yeah.
No, but come here. When the more doors that you knock on, one of them has to open.
Yeah, that's... My favourite thing about all of that is I love the actual doing of it.
Yeah.
So, like, we're writing scripts and stuff, you know, I'm happy to just go and I'll just write the script. And then that's what I'll send around, as opposed to send the emails off. I'd like to write a script, and then you spend like 6 months going, "Well, can you write? Or can you?" Then it's like, "Well, I wrote this script here. What do you think?"
Yeah, have it ready.
Yeah, so I think it's just a case of your shelf just gets bigger and bigger.
And would you think of I know you've probably sent stuff in the past, but would you resend stuff now? Because I know there's a big shake up at the moment in RTE.
Stuff has
happened. So would now not be the time, or maybe 2026 to go, look at
Gerard is bigger fish. What do you think it is? Gerard's got stuff being looked at by the BBC, you know, Channel 4, the works, this fella, telling you.
You should have your own aftershave called Smell of Success.
Smell of pension. Just a little bit of security. That would be my aftershave, yeah. I love it. Like, I just think it's such a fun job. Yeah. Like, I was thinking about it there the other day. I was saying to one of my friends, it's like when I give up my job in IT, like, you kind of think.
I remember when you were giving up your job and you were like agonizing over the
company. Oh my God, for years.
The security, if it doesn't work out?
Then, literally within 2 weeks, you just adjust your spend. And it's just like.
What was I worried about?
What was I worried about? Like, and also, you enjoy your 9-to-5 so much. Like, I love my job. Like, it's the best. I mean, I think that makes up for, you know, every so often you have a bit of a wobble where you think, what's going to happen when I'm 80?
Do you know what it is? Since I went full time all them years ago, I still get a sense of guilt. Yeah. I look at my wife and my kids and I go, they should have a better life than what I'm providing for them right now. They really should. If I'd have stayed in that IBM job, I'd been fucking made for life. I'm looking at the fellas that I was working with, and I left there a good few years ago, and they're all minted, driving lovely big cars. They've got,
yeah, but they're all old and they're all miserable.
Well, that's the other side of it. You see,
you can see it. See it. You see it.
You see it in their eyes.
Come here, friends. Listen, money and material things don't make you happy.
No.
Like, come here. I mean, we've been on the circuit like for a good few years, and some of the places that we've went to that have been shitholes to do gigs in, you've had the best night of your life. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know, yeah. So when you walk in the door and you go, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like that, then it always turns out to be a good gig. I remember, what was the name of that place? There was a place in Tala, and it was like,
Snooker
you used
Hall.
To go through. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Cavanta.
Cavanta.
Yes. And I remember you go in there. I remember going in there on like the 28th of December or something. And walking through the door and going, this is going to be an absolute shit show. And it was an absolute ripper of a gig. It was like the best crack.
We're in Tala tomorrow night, will I? Well, no, this is going out whenever next week. So it doesn't matter. This is not time sensitive, this podcast. But but no, that was like, do you know who booked that? You remember your man Perth?
Ian Perth. He's living in Glasgow or Edinburgh at the moment.
Edinburgh he is, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
He used to, anytime we were over in Edinburgh, he'd always go and see the Irish comedian shows because he knew us from years ago kind of thing, like, you know. But his brother, Vinny.
And he's a brother called Paul, who's a great footballer as well.
Well, Vinny was the assistant manager to Stephen Kenny at Dundalk. He's on off the ball now. He's a football pundit, but he was a manager. He was the fella that was booking the gigs back in the day with Ian.
I was wondering why he kept asking me to go up front and then go over on go over on the wing, and if anyone says that, defend yourself.
Offside.
Well, that was a bad book.
Red card after 5 minutes. Get off.
But Gerard, just we're looking at your career over the years. You're like us. Let's be honest. We're veterans now at this stage.
You
can't say we're newbies anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
We're hanging on to that for about 12 years. Me and Will are going, ah, no, we're still new.
Still new in all the places we've never gigged before.
All them good places.
Yeah.
But it's been an amazing career for you. Like, in terms of, like, we were only talking about the people you've opened for. Like, and the one that stands out particularly myself when you had this was Joan Rivers. Like,
That was mad.
That's incredible, Garode. Like, she's like
dead.
Hollywood royalty's dead. That way, she's
what?
And there's Garode going, that's my invoice.
No, come here. That must have been like. Tell us,
she's Hollywood royalty.
Tell us and tell the listeners actually how did that evolve?
The way that happened was, right, I did my first Edinburgh in 2012 and I went and got I got 5 reviews, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Wow.
Sounds like a rocket ship.
So it was like I did 5 years of Edinburgh in 1 year. So I came back going, well, what the hell was that? And I was like, I'm never doing comedy again. I'm done. I'm out. And then Brent Berry just rang me one Friday night and was like, Joan Rivers is coming to Ireland. Would you be interested in submitting a tape?
That's how old we are.
A clip.
Just a cassette tape,
A cine. Just to to have her, she'll have a look at it and then she'll pick who she wants. And I was like, oh, grand, fine. So sent a little clip and then about 2 weeks later, got a phone call to say it was happening. And it was really weird because it was on, there was two gigs. It was 9th and 10th of October. And my birthday's the 10th of October. And I was kind of like, kind of arranged to go to Kelly Clarkson on my birthday.
Joan Rivers, Kelly Clarkson.
And at the time, Joan Rivers wasn't
flowing.
I feel like since she's died, she's even got bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the time, she was on Fashion Police, and you know she would have been popular, but she would have been popular the way Kathy Griffin is popular now. So I was just kind of like, oh, I don't know. And then I was like, no, I'll do it. Of course, it's Joan Rivers. And then she found out it was my birthday the second night. So she threw this little party. So weird. It was so
In Baker Street Road, was it?
In the back room. In the back room, Baker Street. PJ Gallagher, because we were doing Meet Your Neighbours at the time, he came
Jesus,
in. And there's just this weird photograph of everyone standing there with Joan Rivers in the front with like a party hat on. It's so strange. It was just
happy birthday, Karam. Yeah, happy birthday, Karam.
Like, hey, oi.
And she was cutting the cake. Like, it was just, it was very weird. And also, like, my family, they're not, it's not that they're not into comedy, but they're just like, oh, yeah, he's just doing whatever he does. So, like I was saying, does anyone want tickets to Joan Rivers? And they were like,
not really. They didn't see it. Yeah.
And then I, so they were saying, are your family coming in? And I was like, no, they're not coming in.
You can't see Kelly Clarkson.
And then you could see she was having Joan was having this conversation with her manager, like, I think it's because he's gay. No, it's not that, they're just not interested. I'm not the problem, you are. Like,
yeah. Smell of embalming fluid off you.
It was just a bit it was great. I mean, it's such a, what a weird experience. Like.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time, she wanted this band to play her on and play her off. So they were on stage and they were like, do you want the band on or off when you're on? And I was like, oh, I don't know really. I guess off. And she was like, get off. And the band just got up and walked. And then I was like, she was like, no, they will have to come on.
Oh, did she want to introduce you from the stage?
She had this band that would play and she'd do a side stage.
Okay, right.
But she was very, so I said, maybe then have them on. Just leave them on. And she was like, okay, get back on. I was like, oh, sorry, lads. And she was like, never apologise.
That's 60 years of show business right there.
She was great. She was such a good crack. But she was, also what I loved about her was she was a proper comic. Like, she was just really like, I'm thinking about doing this bit about this. And like, it was like standing on the stairs of the International.
Ah, like, amazing. So she had the old school craft and all that. She was still working out lines.
Oh, yeah. There was a part of me looking at her before she went down. I was like, why are you doing this at like 79 years of age?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Surely you've earned your money this stage, you know?
But she loved it. Like,
yeah, she did it for
the love of it. It's the love of it.
Yeah.
And there's no, like, let's call a spade, there's no retirement age on it.
No.
I mean, as long as you can write a joke and make people laugh, you're in the game. Like,
yeah, exactly. And make yourself look vaguely presentable.
What's the woman's name that used to go to the International? She's passed away last year.
Oh, yeah.
The small woman with the black hair. She was nearly 90.
Oh, Lynn.
Lynn something or other. She's from...
She's from New York, isn't she?
New York.
Yeah.
She was
great.
Often said she was the oldest comedian on the circuit doing comedy today.
And
she would pop into the International every
she
now
would,
and then.
Yeah.
And she would, yeah. Hardest
was part was getting her up the stairs.
Especially the International. You need to up your facilities, International.
Yeah, no, they need to get a stair lift.
It was
for all of us.
she was great, actually.
Yeah.
She was. I wonder, will we be doing it at that age? See, this is the thing when I think about comedy. It's like nobody's gone. Like, nobody in Ireland has gone that far.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we're all looking at Tommy going, what's next?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you look at the old school comedians, though, they went on forever. And a similar Phil Fox, you know, the likes of those people. Yeah. They're still going. They're still doing, popping up and doing gigs here and there. So I don't know whether... Look, I don't know. I wouldn't like to think that when I'm 80 that I'm still doing comedy. I'd like to be sitting down watching comedy, maybe.
Yeah, you'd like to think your job's finished.
Yeah. My work is done here. Yeah. Enjoy my legacy.
Yeah.
So Joan Rivers, that was a thing. Like, that was an amazing... Like, I mean, it's gas talking to you about that girl, because you don't seem as enthused about it as, say, everyone else did because of the legacy of Joan Rivers, you know?
It was so good. And, it was just such an amazing thing. But at the time, I used to be really nervous doing comedy. Like, I used to be, oh, my God, I'd get myself worked up.
Terrified, yeah.
I was terrified. Yeah. And I'd be pacing the floor and sweating and...
Can I just say, you and PJ on tour must have been some fucking sight.
Oh, God.
The two of you puking and dropping.
We were a mess. Like, it was just... It was like, why the fuck are we doing this? And we would... If he had a good night, I would make him worse. And then if I had a bad night... Like, it was just... We just fed each other. It was terrible.
Yeah.
But, like, I used to have to kind of minimise it all in my head. I was like, this doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, because if it did matter, if I did kind of accept for what it was, I'd be a basket.
And when did you get better with it? When did you start to, you know, start to go, do you know what?
I started to get worse. Like, I started to get a lot worse. Like, I remember doing, actually, Singlehood in the Olympia. I was opening for Singlehood.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember I did a course and to deal with, like, stage fright. And it helped a little bit, but not much. But it was the pandemic.
Right.
Yeah. After the pandemic, I came back. I never had a second's nerves.
And what would you attribute that to?
I think it was during the pandemic. I was just like, I'm done with this. I'm done.
Okay.
And I really didn't want to go back to it.
Right.
I was like, I really... And I had about a year... where I was like, I'm not doing that again. Like, I'll just,
did you?
Yeah,
really? Yeah.
Because during the pandemic, I did a master's, or not master's, a postgrad in IT.
Right.
Because that was what I used to work at.
Oh, you were thinking of going back?
Yeah. So it's like, it's just, yeah, it's done. Like, yeah, it's not going to come back. And then when I started doing opening for Joanne, and then things took off for me, I think I was just so glad of it that I was like, I'm not even wasting a second.
Yeah.
Thinking about this negatively, like. Yeah. So now it's really weird because there's times when I'd be doing a big gig and you're kind of like, I really should be cacking my pants like here, but I'm grand.
Isn't it a good place to be though?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I think when you arrive at that place. Now come here. I'd be a little bit nervous before I go on, but I don't be. I think once you take the microphone and you get that first laugh, the nerves just run away from you then.
Yeah, yeah.
So totally. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. And then you just come into you.
It's the line.
Sorry. I'm joking.
that's a good joke, Eric.
But I do think that's the longest walk in the world from the wings to the mic. Like, you're just like,
Yeah.
But no, it's the best job in the world.
Come here. Arenas with bleeding Joanne McNally. Like,
Jesus.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Not weird. It's amazing.
It's so strange because, like, meeting her in singlehood, and I vividly remember saying to her, because she was like, I think I'm going to do stand-up. And I was like, you don't need to don't do stand-up. What are you doing? I was like, you've got a good acting job here, and you're going to give it up to do what?
Yeah, and I think she was doing a bit of copywriting for Tink House or something.
Yeah,
at the time,
yeah, and I was like, what are you doing? It's so toxic. It's just, it's so hard. It's such a shit world. And I was like, and the problem is you get into it, and then you love it, so you can't leave it.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you don't need this. It's the last thing you need. And I was the same when she, during the pandemic, I remember doing a Zoom with her and she was like, I think I'm going to do a podcast with Vogue Williams. I was like, that's a terrible idea. She's got a podcast. That's great. Stick to it.
Yeah.
Stick to what you know. Yeah,
geez, so nobody take advice
if
from
you,
me.
Look, great, I was going to say that. If you ever negatively say anything about me, I'm definitely going to do it.
If that goes wrong, don't ever take a job as a careers officer.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? I've saved six cats from a tree. You don't need to be a fireman.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Oh, stop.
Ruining lives left, right and centre. Yeah.
But that, you know, it's ghastly. That Joanne, like, Joanne McNally is like a global phenomenon now. It's
mad.
It's scary.
It is
how
isn't it?
Big,
yeah,
and hugely successful she is. And obviously, I know her from the singlehood days.
Yeah.
And like that's I noticed her in rehearsals. I'm getting to know her and going, she's just fucking funny.
She's funny bones.
You know
what I always remember about her was when she started, like all of us, it didn't really work.
Yeah,
but then I saw her about like 6 months later, and it was rocking, but she hadn't changed that much.
No.
And I think that's the key.
Yeah.
Like, I think that if you stick to what you want to do, and she was just very headstrong about
that. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And she probably made one or two little tweaks.
And that's sometimes all you need to do, Eric.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, you could see someone, like what you talked about, do that exact, like do the set, right, for the first time, and then go back and you're going, oh, I don't know about that. And then whatever, if the confidence is kicked in, and as you said, tweaked a couple of things, added a couple of lines, or took a couple of lines away, and you go back 6 months later, and you're going, what the fuck is going on here? Like, this is working.
I think it's that you believe in it so much that you just stick to your guns. And that's, I think you need that for comedy. And whereas, I remember at the start, you kind of go, well, that doesn't work, so we'll just drop it and never say it again. You know, you just get a bit scared of it. But, like, she is just balls of steel.
Ah, she's fearless. Yeah. Like, she really is. And I love her. And she's coming on the podcast, finally. She's coming on the podcast, yeah. She said she'd be with us in February. So she didn't specify which day. She just went, February?
She didn't say which February. Okay,
Joanne.
Busy. She's booking up well in advance. Yeah.
Joanne, if you're listening, that's contractually obliging now. Any day in February. This year. Not this year, next year. But yeah, we're super excited for that. But no more excited than we are to have you, Garola. Don't get me wrong.
I'm a warm-up act. I know what plays there.
Not only, but just kind of to touch on the last thing with kind of Joanne, where I noticed you are really good friends as well.
Yeah. You have to be.
And when you're walking with one of your friends, it's just an adventure, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you do need that. Like, at the start, like, her first tour on Prosecco was mental because it was the first, most of the places we played, it was the first gig in that venue in 3 years because everything was shut down for COVID. When we started that tour, we were still doing two shows a day because you could only do 50% capacity. Yeah. So, like, that's how early it was.
So there was dust everywhere.
Yeah, there was nobody to tell us where to go. Like, so we were, like, there was no tour manager England, so we were like, what are we going to get a train? How do we do this? Like,
wow.
So we were kind of left to our own devices a bit, like, but, and this time round, you kind of see what the machine is.
Yeah.
You know, and think, oh my God, we have such an adventure. Machine. Like, and it is a machine. Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah. It's massive rooms.
And finely tuned.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Mm. But yeah, doing it with your friend is just, it doesn't feel like work at all.
Yeah.
And also, if you're not friends, like touring with somebody you're not friends with, that's hard.
That must be really tough. Like, you know what I mean?
I'd say it's so difficult, especially when you're touring with someone that you're just the support act and they don't really want to hang out with you. So you're left here on the voices all day.
I think
most days. Like.
Yeah, I think it depends. I think if you're the headliner or the support act, I think as a support act, I love nothing more than going in, doing me 20 minutes and then fucking off home. That's the beauty of it.
No, like, that's all right. But I mean, when you're in a different country and you have 20 dates in the UK, I mean, that's a lonely place to be in. Like.
It's nice to just go, yeah, I'm going to go to the cinema. Or I'm going to... Like, we have this rule that if we see each other at breakfast, it's how do you do, but leave me alone, please.
Really, yeah?
Yeah.
You just knew how to give each other space.
Yeah. It's not like I'm not good in the morning, she's not good in the morning.
Really? So that's a great thing.
Wave from across
the room.
You
respect each other's boundaries. Yeah. I love that.
And then we there was a tour manager on the UK tour this time, and she would sit down. We said to one of them, like, what are you doing? Go to get out of here. This is not the way this rolls. But yeah, and we've a good time. Like, and it's like, I was weird about it this tour, like, because I'd done my own tours.
Right.
And it was kind of like, do you want to go and do a support?
Yeah,
like,
I know what you mean.
But it was that. Like, yeah, it'll be good and it'll open me up to a new audience. But then there was a part of me going, but like, I have an audience and I worked hard to get them. And what does this look like? And then it's just when you go, oh, but we're so much crack.
I can imagine.
I mean, it is such good fun. And also, like, she's a messer. Like, we'll go for a drink.
But she's great company.
She's brilliant.
Yeah, she's great company.
I remember us getting the message from someone after a show. I can't remember, Middlesbrough or somewhere like that. And we realised, we walked out of the venue and we realised, oh, there's a pub around the corner, but it's closing. And we're like, let's run for last orders. But Joanne's quite fit and she's fitter than me. So she was legging it down and I was running after her. And then she was getting all these messages going, so you're being chased. You were being chased.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But you know, we've a good time.
Love it. But like, so I suppose, like, when you're saying you were questioning whether you wanted to do another support tour for it because of your own stuff is taken off. But obviously stuff like that helps grow, doesn't it? Like, you know, it builds an audience and, you know, people see you as a support act and go, geez, I must keep an eye on him. And when he's coming here, I'll go and see him. You that has helped for sure, yeah?
Yeah, totally. Like, I mean, because I did supports for so long, I kind of took the status thing out of it. And I was like, this is just a way to open, you know, to open yourself to a new audience.
Yeah. That's a great way of looking at it. I've said it
to loads of people. I'll open for anyone. Like, I never even...
It's kind of like...
Think in those terms. Like,
it's like you're on the early shift. You're just going in ahead of work of the main
person. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you're the one that goes in and starts the machines and puts a bit of oil in and all that. And when the machine starts sticking over, the fella that operates the machine, he comes in for an hour. Do you know what I mean? Like, so you are part of that, you know?
Oh, totally.
I know support act is always going to be support act, like, and everyone goes, oh, yeah, you're on the same shift and you're doing the same job.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? And also, you've got this. It's my favourite type of gig is when you go on and they're like cold as hell and they're like, who is he? We're not into it. And then by the end, you have them.
Yeah.
And you don't, like, when you're touring yourself, you don't have those gigs.
Right.
Because they've bought.
Of course.
You go out and it's just, that's it. We're done. We're into it now. But I do like the. Like, I love the winning them over. Yeah, it's like, how am I going to get these? Like,
yeah.
Or, you know, there's somebody sitting at the front and they're just glaring.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be him. Like, I'm going to get him.
I know exactly what you mean. I've done a few supports and I always crack on with it, you know. When I walk out, I go, I'm mimicking the audience going, days are all gone off. Fuck, there's a support act.
And
you play up to it.
Yeah.
They go, well, you're stuck at me now for the next 20 minutes. So he's a bucket in. Here we go.
but like, it's also, that's exactly how they're feeling. And also you doing that is kind of like, oh no, this is going to be fun. Mischief around this. I love those gigs and I love her audience.
Yeah.
Like, we've a lot of crossover.
Okay, right.
Which is great. And that was the other thing I thought to myself, well, if she's on tour, people are going to go and see her. So why?
Yeah.
Not, like, if we've the same audience, they're not going to see me. So just take a break and give it a year.
I think supports are hugely important. And I know exactly what you mean, girl. Is it a, you know, I'm not, you're not being big-headed by saying, have I outgrown the support role? I think that's what you were saying.
Totally.
I completely get that. But I used to, years ago, I used to think I had, and then I was going, and then recently I was kind of going, well, what the fuck are you talking about, Eric? So I've actually said to our agent, Lisa Richards, I said, look, if any of our big acts are going on tour this year, bring me, try and get me support.
Yeah,
so Christine and all them are looking into that.
I think, you see, back in the day, what used to happen was comics with egos would book someone that was not that good to open for them to go, look how good I am.
Yeah.
But that's not really the way it works.
No.
It's like, if you go out and you're smashing it, everyone's having a good time and you're like the little DVD extra.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not that at all. Now it's just, you're just a little addition to the night. Like.
But not only that, like, I'm finding as a comic myself, and I mean, I don't avoid doing any big gigs, I always have a support with me and give them a go. Now, I could go out for 20 minutes and I could interact with the audience and I could have a bit of crack. But I really think, for myself personally, I think that other big acts need to bring lads through and need to give them a support.
Oh, you mean new comics?
I'm the exact opposite. Pull the ladder up on the fucking. I've worked hard enough for a place in this industry.
Leave them with the shark.
Hand it over to somebody else.
I'm with your own on this one, I have to say.
Good luck. Job on. Yeah, go on.
Do your time.
Yeah, go into the Gaiety School of Acting and become an extra for a while. Put some hairs in your chest.
And a lot of big acts don't. They come out and they do the first half themselves and then they close it off and they come out then and they do the second half.
Do you know what I love doing? Is doing 10 minutes of new stuff before the support.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus, good old.
I'll tell you why. I did it on my last tour and I was like, I need to do this. Because when the tour is long, it's not that you get bored of your show, but you get like, you just know all the corners in it. You're really comfortable in it. And I do like the shit your pants element.
A bit of Jeopardy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you go out and just try 10 minutes of new stuff.
That's brilliant.
And then and do it for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then dump it. And then it just means that, well, when you start to write a show, you've got something.
Yeah, amazing.
You know, and I really love doing that.
Yeah.
And also, there's like...
That's a great idea.
There's gigs where you go out and you go, oh my God, was it maybe the second place I tried it? And I was like, this is a fucking terrible idea. Because I went out and just none of it worked.
Really? Okay.
No, so you just do a bit of crowd work. But then, by the time you do your show, they've forgotten it.
Right.
But it just gives you that little bit of an edge.
Are you, when you go out to do that, Garota, are you telling them it's new material? Or are you just...
Now, that's a great idea.
No, it's just wondering because like some, like, you know, I mean, but then like, I think it's probably better off not telling them because then you know it works if they laugh. Whereas I think they've come to see you, so they love you, right?
And then
you say, look, I'm going to try some new jokes and they're just going to go, brilliant.
Do you know where my head is bringing me that if they don't laugh, you tell them it was new material. And if they do, you don't say that.
Yeah, exactly.
You just go like that, you know, walk off the stage.
The reason I did it was because it was doing Dancing with the Stars. There was nothing about that in the show.
Right.
And I was like, because it's gone on so long, I was like, I need to start dropping stuff in there. You know, it was a few months that, and I was like, I need to say something about it. You can't just be rattling out the show. So I just started to write bits, and then I just enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
It was just like that. Just a few minutes of getting a feel of them before the
And that's your new
support.
Kind of modus operandi now, going on.
Yeah, I
tour,
think so.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely did some shows without a support, and I love them as well.
So, I was just talking before we came in, Garode, we love that name, Garode Rage, but that's the tour that you're going to the UK with now. You've done Ireland.
Yeah, Ireland's done.
And you have a new tour for Ireland ready. Look, this man is a machine.
Yeah.
Called No Pressure.
No Pressure, yeah. That's starting in June, I think.
In June.
Going on.
Right, and that's just all around the country.
Yeah,
and all around the lovely venues.
And then, Yeah.
Brilliant. And tickets, are they available from the usual outlets?
They're available.
We also have your own website, haven't you?
Yes, my own website, or through the link in my Instagram.
Flash Boss.
Fancy.
This is the fella who used to shit himself going on stage.
That's what 13 years in IT will get you. You can do a website.
I've just learned how to do a link tree, so I'm alright. I'm moving on. I'm moving
just
forward.
Just as good, Eric.
So Dance with the Stars, Garode, you mentioned it there, and myself and Willie were chatting before we went and recorded, and the joy in your face jumped off the television screens every Sunday night when you were up there, and it was like you were having the time of your life.
Ball.
Yeah.
It was. I had a ball, I have to say, and I said no to it twice.
Did you, yeah?
Yeah, because it's not my bag. Like,
right.
I'm just not...
Wouldn't you ring? Are you looking for a support slot on Dance with the Stars?
I'm not really a showman. Like, it's not my thing.
It's weird just to say that in the job that you have.
I know, but I'm like, I think when I'm on stage, I'm very myself. Like, yeah. I'm not really.
You're not. There's no character. There's
yeah,
not
very
no,
outgoing. Yeah, you're quite quite introverted when you don't when you're in the crowd of strangers, so to speak. Wouldn't you?
I'm very self contained. Yeah. I think. Yeah. And the idea of doing that was just, I was like, oh no. I mean, and I loved watching it.
Yeah.
And then it was when they said, because I kind of wanted it to go away for good, because I was very. They'd asked me a couple of times, and I was like, no. And I hated having to make that decision and say no and then feel shit about it. So it's just like, well, anyway, if I was ever going to do it, I'd want to dance with a man. And I said a real throwaway, and they were like, well, we can do that this year if you want.
And you were like, okay. Like, oh. Right.
All right. So then it kind of became, because I was like, oh, that's really good for young kids.
It was the first time, wasn't it, that they'd done
that? Yeah, they'd done it with drag queens, but they'd never had two guys.
Okay, right.
So there was like, it just presented loads of like, not problems, but like it was kind of like, how are they going to be dressed?
Yeah,
there's no
big
dress.
Yeah.
There's no fancy hair. There's, you know, who's doing the male role, the female role. So the Stephen, who I danced with, he was mad into that for the choreography side of it.
What's his full name? Stephen
Vincent.
Stephen Vincent. And it's another thing as well, what jumped off the screen was the friendship you've developed.
Oh, yeah.
And you're still pals.
Yeah, we're still, love I still that. Speak to him every week.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Him and his wife as well. She's lovely. But I think it was just, I met them at a weird time where they just had a baby.
Right.
So the baby was like 3 weeks old. And I had this idea. I was like, well, what I want this to be is like, if I'm doing this, I want it to be a little moment for dads to say to their sons. Because I feel like dads and sons, it's hard to talk.
Yeah.
But I was like, if they're both watching telly, I felt the dad could be saying, you know, the only thing you should be ashamed of is his dancing. Just like a little, I was like, that's it. Or you know, if you're
lovely,
gay, that's grand. So I was like, that's what I said to Stephen. I was like, this is what I want. And he was like, oh, this has really got me, because he just had a son.
Right.
And I think what he was looking for was, you know, the RTE ironing board, like to drag her around for like 2 weeks, get booted out.
Right.
So he was like, okay, now I'm on board with this. So he knows the show and he knew the strategy. He was like,
so in terms of like, because he's the first male couple to dance on the show, like was he picked specifically, or was it just a look? What way did he do it? Is it a look or a draw?
I didn't understand the way it worked, because the first thing that I heard about him was somebody let it slip. Somebody let it slip that who my partner was. And I was like, oh. I was like, but he's straight. It's like, how's that going to work? Yeah. And I'm friends with Josh Jones, like the
Josh, and only
he,
man.
He was just like, how's that going to work? Yeah. He's going to be dancing with you, just going, and I didn't get it that like ballroom dancers, they dance with men all the time.
Yeah, certainly
like,
do. Yeah,
the Argentinian tangos too. Yeah. Like, so for him, he was just like, yeah, grand, dance with a man. But I was just so nervous about the whole thing, because also I was kind of like, I'm a gay guy, pressing himself against a straight guy. And it's my experience, they don't like that.
You found out the dance with him that they actually do like.
Hang on. Girl, you're gay.
Sorry to upset you, Eric.
But I love the sentiment behind that, Garrod, that you wanted to, you know, it's prime time television on a Sunday evening.
Yeah.
And you wanted to create a scenario where young kids would look at that and it. Because they're seeing is believing. It's completely normal. It's natural. And as you said, the only thing he wanted you could complain about was the fucking dancing. I love
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. And like Stephen used to say it to me, because I used to, for the first couple of rehearsals, I was very in my head, and I was like, because you're crotch to crotch, and I was like, this, everything about this feels wrong.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, just concentrate on the feeling. It's just, we're just dancing. It's lovely. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he swung me around. Like, I always say that Stephen was the person that told me how to be a gay guy properly. Because it's like, it took a straight guy from Manchester for me to... Because, like, the first couple of weeks, I was like, I don't want to be too flouncy, or I don't want to be too sparkly, or too, you know, I don't want to be the woman in the role.
Okay.
You know, and then, like, 3 weeks in, you're like, twirl me, I'm a princess!
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and Stephen even says that now, because the suit that I'm wearing for Joanne has kind of, like, sparkles on the vest of it, and he was like, I saw that and I thought, I did that.
No, but what a great programme to go on. And I mean, there's been loads of great guests on it in the past as well, Luke, you know what I mean?
I just think it's really wholesome.
Yeah.
Like, it's proper January telly.
Oh, it's my ma's favourite thing in the world.
I know.
Like, you know, she's, Garrod, and I've been lucky enough to get in touch with Ivan and go,
oh, sorry,
is there any chance of tickets? for, you know, to, for, oh, to yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've brought my mum out 3 times over the last few years, and it's like our favourite day of the year. She's like, this is amazing.
It's such an event, like, yeah, when you're out there and everybody, you know, everyone's done up, and it's, yeah, I love it.
And, in fairness to them, they spare no expense.
No.
They with go, the they, yeah, they yeah, go all out. It's not like the lotto where there's a bloke holding a star in the background. No, do you know what I'm saying? Like, the visuals, the whole lot, yeah, it's like, we are doing this right. Like.
And also, I found that the most impressive thing about that show was that from, like, you know, the bottom up, all the way to the top, everyone's lovely.
Yeah.
Like, and you don't get, like, my experience to tell you is that's 90%.
No.
No, we've been the very same.
Yeah.
They're just like,
yeah, TV people
they
are,
can be
weird,
very difficult.
Yeah, people, yeah.
But everyone that works in that show is just like, yeah, go get it. And it's just, yeah, it just makes for, you don't realise how hard you're working because it's so much fun.
And it's, yeah, there's a real kind of sense of togetherness, family, community kind of thing. Everyone's like, there's no egos. And, well, there probably isn't, you know, deep down, but overall, it's about the show, isn't it? It's about creating a spectacle for the people at home.
I remember on week 8, there was that was the week I got, the night I got thrown out, actually, there was a girl in it called Kaylee Trapp.
You got eliminated. Oh, Kaylee,
she's
got thrown out.
She done me twice. She's done, well, a personate.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
she did me as well.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Republic of Telly thing I did with the kids?
Oh,
and the confirmation
yeah.
was getting taxed. I went up to the Ballymun school and I went, so how do you feel about your confirmation when you're getting taxed? And the kids were like, what? Oh yeah, there's new legislation not coming in. And I did this on Republic of Telly and it went viral. But she did that. She mimed whole interview Kaylee did.
Gosh, brilliant.
Actually, deadly, yeah.
There was a night that she was doing this Charleston, and every time she did this lift where they were, like, she was thrown over Venus's head, and it just messed up every single night. But on the live show, she got it right. But, like, the eruption from, like, the crew and the box where we all were.
Yeah, the relief.
Just, everyone was just like, when we're all in competition.
Everyone waiting for
everyone
it
was
like
just
that.
Like, yes!
Yeah. I'd say there was one or two cones going, hope she falls.
I was. You get swept along, though.
You lasted till the last.
I got to week 8.
That's amazing.
And
girls.
Then I made a balls of the dance off. I made a balls. Of
what was it that you made a balls of? You just got.
See what happened. What happened was right. We were on a bench. Like it was orchestra week, and Stephen was supposed to be on a bench reading a paper, and I was to be like, oh, I'm going to dance with that man. So I was supposed to give the conductor a big €50 note, and he was like, you know, play something upbeat. But I was supposed to do that when they said, Dancing the Charleston, Gerald Verrilli and Stephen Vincent. But I didn't realise in the dance-off, they don't play that cue.
Okay.
So by the time you rehearse the dance-off, you're just like, you do it in the afternoon, the whole show, and you're not really listening. You're like, oh, I want me dinner.
yeah.
But so then we were in an ad break. We knew we were in the dance-off. We're like, okay, everyone calm. We'd be grand.
Who are you up against in the...
Danny O'Carroll.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
So we were getting ready to go. We were first up, and it was all just like deathly quiet in the studio, waiting to go. And then I just heard the conductor say in his ear, he's like, "Okay, and just to confirm, there's no voiceover." And I was like, "What do you mean no voiceover? I need the voiceover." And he was like, "I'll just cue you." And I should have, at that point, I should have just called Stephen and said, "Help, Dad."
Yeah. Advise me.
I was like, "Okay, Grant, I'll just take his word for it." But then he cued me, and then I was like, "Wait a second, am I at the start of the voiceover or the end?"
Oh,
of the voiceover?
Wow! So and then, live television, girl. It was the live pressure.
So then I started because I had to start the dance, and then I went over to Stephen, and I noticed Stephen just going,
"What's he doing here already?"
And he just went along with it, and then at one point in the middle of the dance, just went like that and held for 4 counts, and I was like, oh, I've really fucked this.
Oh, wow. No, because he knew what step we should be on.
He's
holding
way,
back.
We are dancing, but we're in the wrong place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he just had, I was like, oh, good God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then the first question I was asking the box was like, do you think you've done enough to stay in the competition? And I was like,
we have to
clearly
go.
Clearly
not. Oh, did you admit it? Did you admit it?
I think I did.
Oh, do you reckon the judges all knew straight away?
Oh, they knew straight away. Because to make it worse, was we had danced last. So we danced last and we were first in the dance
off.
And I'd missed one step, so they were watching me like a hawk.
Ah,
and then
what a run you had.
Great run. Yeah. And also I was glad I hadn't gone away from the dance off goals. I was brilliant and then I got kicked out. I was glad I made dog shit of the whole thing.
You had an excuse. wondering why.
Were you a lot fitter after the programme than you were going on to it?
Oh my God, yeah. You lose the weight, like you just you tone up and you look great. But I had an operation straight after it, just on my back. So I was on the couch for 4 weeks eating chocolate. Jesus, so, you know, I was chained for briefly.
Pre-op.
I was like, yeah, I was pre-op, yeah. I looked great. I was lying on the couch going, I look great, but yeah, to see myself.
But you were just saying to us as well, before we started recording, about how the commitment that is expected of you, like, it's 6 months, is it? Like, nearly 6 months of...
Yeah, you hear in September that you're doing it.
Yeah.
And then you start maybe mid-November, and then you get announced early December. But... what happens is, they're like, you only need to do 12 hours a week. But you get so into it.
Of course.
You're like, come on, come on. And then you're supposed to have Mondays off.
Yeah.
But your Monday is just after Sunday. And if you survive the Sunday, you're like, nah, come on, let's get in. Let's
because you want it to be even better the next week, don't you? And you want to get practice on the routine that you're doing.
Also, you're getting tireder.
Yeah.
And you have to impress more.
Okay.
You know, so you feel like you need to.
Right.
But it's great.
Yeah. It's still a staple. It's one of the biggest shows on Irish television. We thought it was gone, but it's back. It's back again in all its glory. We've seen some of the people that have been announced for. Who's the comedian this year?
Michael Fry is doing it. Yeah, I was so surprised.
Yeah.
He's dancing with Stephen's wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know she was a dancer as well.
Yeah, she's in it as well. Right, yeah, cool. Yeah.
So, Michael Fry used to work for Joe. Used to work for Joe.ie.
No way!
Yes, he did.
I did not know that.
He was in charge of our social media for a while. Yeah, he was, yeah. And then now he's like superstar, and he was on Derry Girls and loads of stuff. He's doing great for himself. But, Garrod, so, come here. We have this new section.
Very
fancy. It is called Much. And basically,
it's called merch.
So basically,
do you not know what merch is? No.
So explain.
No, like, so if you got a new watch, you go, what do you think of that new watch? And I go, merch.
It's a real Dublin thing, like, merch. But we said that in a couple of the early podcasts, and every time we get a comment on the Spotify or on social media, it's always merch. It's become a catchphrase now, like, you know. And even when we're driving through town, there's people roaring.
Yeah.
We were actually thinking of bringing out some merch.
Not too much.
Yeah. But So the section is, so the premise is, Garrod, we give you €100, all right?
Okay.
And we want you to have a good night out in Dublin with €100. And we want you to go to a comedy show of your choice, have a drink somewhere and have a meal. How does the split work for you in terms of food, entertainment and drink?
Okay. Right. I would say for comedy, the Cellar.
Okay.
Yeah. Cellar on a Wednesday.
Right. And you're paying, what, 10, 15 euro
midweek.
A minute, is it?
Yeah, about 10, 15. Yeah, midweek. Yeah.
Right.
Do you want to say who's on?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. I would say Cellar on a Wednesday, Sharon Mannion is like...
Oh, she's amazing.
She's one of the best.
Everyone loves her.
Yeah.
Sharon Mannion is one of those people that... she's so good at comedy that every time you see you're on a gig, you're like, oh, bollocks.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's such a good MC. Like, she rips the place apart.
She really does. And you're like, fuck, I feel like I'm breaking up.
I know, yeah. I'm just like, yeah, sorry, lads. Sharon Mannion, Mike Savage.
Ah, yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Because he's just outrageous. You don't know what's going to happen.
Just watch him all day.
Because you don't know what you're going to get.
You don't know what you're going to get. He's so funny.
He's like that surprise on Christmas. You're going to look at the package and go, what's going to be in this?
Yeah. Looks like a football and a fishing
ball.
Isn't
he? Yeah, it is.
Just because he used to be like in Ivy Gardens. I used to always make sure I saw him over the weekend because it just, like he would... So many of his lines about things that have happened, like I remember jokes about marriage referendum and stuff, I was like, that's fucking hilarious.
He's fearless, isn't he?
He's fearless and he's brilliant. Yeah. And he always makes me laugh. So, I love seeing him in the international. Who else? Killian Sunderman.
Ah, Killian's great.
Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I think he is Killing it, Sunderman. Yeah, he is. He really is. He's absolutely smashing it. He's one of those people as well that came from online.
Yeah.
But like...
He's transitioned so well, hasn't he?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But immediately started putting in the graft.
Yes.
Like really did a great job. I think he's brilliant. Who else? Emma Doran.
Emma, yeah.
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 Everyone loves Emma.
She's just brilliant.
Yeah. She is, we had her on a few weeks ago. We had, so the only two people that we have not on the podcast from that lineup was McSavage and Sharon. So we'll definitely get Sharon in. I'm not getting that mad bastard in. We'd be cancelled.
If we're doing the podcast, we're back in the van the following week. Is the reception there, Mick? Is that?
I used to love, like, I remember one Ivy Gardens. He was on a gig with Pat McDonald. And Pat McDonald was on doing material. He was introducing. And he brought Dave McSavage on. And as soon as Dave went down, he started talking about the size of Pat McDonald's head. And it was just like, it's always you big fucking hill. And then Pat McDonald, he's such like a sweet man.
Yeah.
And he was just walking upstairs. He's like, ah, fuck off, Dave.
Oh, stop.
Actually, the very first time I seen him, it was I went to, like, years ago when I had my job, before he did comedy, I went to the Late Late Show one night and he was the warm-up act. And I was like, who is this guy? He's unbelievable.
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
I remember there used to be this thing years ago in Vicar Street called Comedy Carnival.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Like, loads of people on.
Yeah.
And I remember when you were getting into your seat, Mike Savage would be singing with the guitar and just singing about people. Like, everybody in the audience knew.
Yeah.
But you were walking in and he was singing about you and you had no idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
He's so unpredictable and you just don't know what you're going to get. Like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he's a genius at what he does.
Yeah.
And also, there is this madness about him, and I think that's what makes him such a great comic. He has that almost insanity about him, like, you know, he is, as we say, fearless. But also, there's a really, not an awful lot of people know this, but there is a really actual nice, warm side to Mike Savage as well.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah,
you don't see too much, but when it happens, you're like, what the, you think something's wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd
be looking on the top of buildings to see him getting shot.
Yeah. I
feel like playing John F. Kennedy here.
What's happening? He's setting me up here. Yeah. Why are you being nice to me?
It's also there's a childlike thing to him as well, that when you upset him or annoy him, he just loses his temper. Like, but he's, even stuff like the Savage Eye, I mean, it's still so good today.
Unbelievable.
And there's so little comedy from around that time that still works today.
Yeah, true.
You know, like,
it hasn't aged well, kind of thing.
Yeah. So much of it is just like a lot of the RTE stuff. It didn't. You know.
He's like that show is just it will always stand the test of time. It was just absolutely he went after Ireland. They went after Catholic Ireland like nobody had ever done before.
Even the president stuff with John Cleary with the birdcage
on his head, never explained.
You're kind of gone.
Yeah, it's like, you just left to figure it out.
Yeah, just figure it out yourself. It was just so funny. All of it was so funny. Like, even the the politicians in the press conference.
There needs to be we talked about RTE earlier. I know we're still on your 100 quid, but there needs to be someone in RTE that's a little bit risque and goes, do you know what? Give one of these another run out, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, everyone says they were great, so why try to fix something that's not broke? Why give someone else a go at doing something like this? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you like to think that they will at some point, but the problem, I think, when people make stuff is everyone just goes for it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it doesn't matter if it's good or shit. People just go for it.
Rip it apart. Yeah. And I think they just don't understand that it takes, you know, like, look at the first season of Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's grand.
Yeah.
And then season three, all of a sudden, it's amazing. There's so many phenomenal series that the first couple of series, you're like, they have to find their feet on it. Yeah, it's only six weeks a year they're doing this.
We actually, remember there was a panel show that was on after the panel, and I finally got onto it. It was called Next Week's News. And it was shot in the Belvedere Theatre there in where they used to shoot the panel.
Oh, yeah.
So Bernard O'Shea was the presenter. The two captains were PJ and Neil. And I got onto a couple of the episodes. And it was a show that, it had a few teething problems, I suppose, at the start, but then it progressively got better and better and the ratings started to go up, but they pulled the plug in it.
Then it just goes.
So soon, they just pulled the plug in it and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think they just want that thing of something being an instant success.
Yeah.
And just nothing goes like that anymore. I just started watching the sitcom Two Doors Down. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No.
Yeah, but it's one of those, it's in season 7 on BBC. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Really, yeah?
It's absolutely brilliant.
Is it British?
Yeah, it's Scottish.
It takes ages
for people to find stuff now.
Right.
And
yeah, there's too much selection.
Yeah, if it's on, if it's not on, then it's, you know, then it's gone. They won't, like, nothing's going to get big.
Yeah. So tell me, Gerard.
Food,
drink.
Drink, The Bankers.
The Bankers,
No, sorry, not The Bankers. I love The Bankers.
Sorry, The Bank. The Bank, okay, the bank. Yeah. On Dame Street,
A Guinness in The Bank.
Lovely.
And meal would be Acapulco.
Where's that?
Georgia Street.
Okay, and what is that? Is that like Mexican food? Ah, love it.
So do you go local in Acapulco?
Go local. The margaritas are good and so are the fajitas.
So, well, I mean, we're 100 euros. You've got 85 euros to spend coming out of the cellar. So, how many points are you having, girl?
A couple.
Need to get you need food.
Yeah. No, but you need to get a loin in for the food.
Yeah, true. Amex Savage's
so
comedy.
So it floats.
Yeah. Well, you get the margaritas in Acapulco.
Right.
And a main course and a dessert.
Oh, nice.
So then you're up to nearly 60 quid there.
Yeah.
And you've got 40 quid for points then.
Yeah.
And no, a bus home.
No, 20 quid.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'd have 1 point. That would do me. Because Guinness makes me fart. And then a taxi home.
Oh, nice.
That's a great night out, I think.
That is a great night.
That's one of the better responses we've had around now, I have to say.
Do you know what we need to do all
You're putting a longing on me now.
We should get a much board. We should have the top 10 muches on it. I know we would definitely...
Well, how would you rate them?
Well, you could just put them on it for starters and then... No, put them on it for starters and then at the end of it, we'll do the voting.
Okay.
We'll get the listeners to do the voting. Who do you reckon should be number 10? We don't. I think what you said is a great night out.
That's my idea of a night out. I would
Maybe you could
work
with a comedy tourism board or something like that.
He doesn't need
the
to.
The only thing is...
No, he doesn't.
The only thing is about going into the cellar is if someone pulls out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's always a bit.
And they're like... Can you?
No, I'm on my night out. I'm off. I'm going to Acapulco now.
Yeah.
Acapulco.
You know, I've had one Guinness.
Yeah. You're farting on the stage. Everyone would be gone.
Sharon, you're brilliant. Do it yourself.
Yeah. Exactly. Keep the money, Sharon. Yeah. Yeah, she's great.
So Garode, like, so the new tour, Garode Rage, which by the way is one of the greatest show names of all time. Garode Rage is brilliant. You've done the Irish bit, but is the UK bit happening the new year then to bring
it
up to the Irish states?
On the 15th
with the other show.
Yeah, it starts on the 15th of January and it goes right up. It goes up to I think mid March and back and forth. I'm doing them in a couple of stints, and then it's only like about 10-12 dates,
right?
Just to see, you know.
But you've gigged in the UK quite a lot, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done a couple of tours, but this is the first one where you kind of go...
You're on your own,
you know,
kind of thing.
Just like do a bigger, you know, bigger room and stuff. So I'm doing Leicester Square Theatre.
Oh, wow, amazing.
A few of them have sold. But the problem is that something sells out and then you're like, go on to the second night. And then you're like, oh, well, there we go, 8 tickets.
Yeah. And will you take a support or will you get a support in the UK to gig with you?
No, I'll support in the UK.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so like...
Do you get someone local or do you use the one person?
The agencies.
I used to get locals, but then I think Morgan, probably do a podcast with Chatting with Cherubs.
Right.
So Morgan Reese is going to do a few of them.
We were talking about Dancing with the Stars and one of your best buddies, Niamh Kavanagh, is on it this year. So has she been like eating the head off? You're not trying to get all the inside info off you? And
yeah, so what happened was Niamh has said no to it something like 9 times.
Wow.
Yeah. She's every year they ask her and she's like, no, not for me. Jesus. And I know she wants to do it.
Yeah.
Because she always talks about it. And then when I did it, she was kind of got a ringside seat. And I said no. She said no to it again. And I was like, no, we're not having this. So I think it's the closest me and Niamh have ever come to like having a proper argument.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, I'm not having it. Sign the contract. Like, do your yes, sign the contract. And then get started, go to Zumba or whatever. But so she did it and then they put her with Stephen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she's having a ball.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and I knew she would.
Yeah.
I knew she would. And it's because you just surprise yourself.
Yeah.
You know, at the start. She's having a great time.
She used to live up the road from me, do you know that, in Finglas?
Yeah.
Yeah, we lived in the same state.
Yeah.
And when she won the Eurovision, we're like, oh my God, we know her. She's only up the road.
Yeah. That's how I knew her. I lived in Cedarwood. And I was like, oh my God, a Eurovision winner lives around the corner. Yeah.
So I was Carrigallen Park and she was Carrigallen.
Oh, she was Willow Park Grove.
No.
When
she lived in the south. Finglas South.
Oh, Finglas South.
Yeah, in Lake Glen Estate, where Carly's from.
Yeah.
So she lived in our estate for a while. Her whole family did. And I remember she did a show recently where they went back to our roots.
Oh, Key to My Life.
Key to My Life, yeah. And I was disappointed because...
No horses in the garden.
No, we were going back to Niamh's original roots in Glasnevin. I was going, well, hang on a second. She was in Finglas South first.
Yeah, she moved around a bit.
Yeah.
She's a bit of a Dublin 11 nomad.
Nomad, yeah. So Garode, how many podcasts have you got on the go now?
Two.
So it's the Woman Niamh.
The Woman Niamh, Agony Rants, and then Chat with Cherubs.
Yeah.
So that's, Niamh is like, it's a problem podcast. And then Cherubs is just three guys.
Just shooting the breeze.
Me, Josh Jones, and Morgan Reese.
Oh, Josh Jones. Deadly. I love Josh Jones.
I'm going to give it as many episodes in.
Yeah, it was gone for a while without me, and then they stopped, and then myself and Josh were going to do a podcast because he did Dancing on Ice when I did Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
So we were like, oh yeah, let's.
And how did he get on that?
He
did he get injured?
Fell on week one.
That's right. that's right now it's all come back to me.
As he says, I fell on week one, but I got all the money.
Ah, that's the way to do it. If you're going to fall, fall on week one.
It's a great fall.
Yeah, brilliant.
This
fall.
Is what I'm saying about Lucrative bouncing with stars. Fall. I think if you're signed up for it, you should get the whole tent, whatever, any weeks it's on for.
I'm sure RT will support that, Will.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's just, no wonder you're not getting on it.
Yeah. Don't get Will out waiting in here.
Fella standing going, I want the 10 weeks.
It's like all the 10 weeks, please.
Yeah, there's too many ideas above the station.
So I remember that tattoo fixers used to be on the telly. Do you remember tattoo fixers on Channel 4? So basically it was, if you had a gammy tattoo, you went in and you had the choice of three artists, so they'd go... What I'd do with that is I'd put like a nail on it and this, that, and
the way you started that question, Harry was going, Garold was on that show? What tattoo fixers?
I'm saying about like Dancing with the Stars. I'm not on it, but I'm saying I apply it to get on another show.
I didn't know
so
that.
It,
really.
No, but this is what I'm saying. So it was tattoo fixers, right? So I wrote them the email. It was Channel 4, blah, blah, blah. But they'd no space available on tattoo fixers. And they asked me, would I go on...
Naked Attraction?
Yeah.
No way.
I swear to God.
And you signed up immediately?
No, I said, not a bleed.
Naked
Naked Attraction. Could you imagine me standing birthday suit? And I was thinking of the scenario of going, imagine if you got voted off force. Like, you would go into a seclusion zone in your life and go, I'm never coming outside the door again.
I'm not trying to be cool here, but I don't know how that show works. Is that what happens?
So what happens is, Naked Attraction is, they start off in the beginning and they go up to your waist.
Yeah.
And they show you the tackle, what's going on.
Yeah. Okay.
Whether you've got a rasher or a sausage.
Oh, you're trimmed or not. Yeah.
You know, and there's, and then they bring someone out that's looking for a bit of Martha Hickey or a bit of bleeding, Gemma McGee. And then they go up to your chest. Obviously, if you're a man
And
then they it's like a Naked Attraction. And then the last, so each section they go to, they take people out. Really? There's red, green, blue, yellow.
Okay.
All different colours. And they extract one each time.
So the person that's picking goes,
no, I don't like the way his ball is hanging to the side. It could be just something. And then at the end, then there's two people left, and you pick one of them. They're standing there in the birthday suit, and then you go off and you come back out then in the Jay's Fluid, and you show what you have on offer.
Will, in a non-sexual way, I'd have paid big money to see you.
I would.
I'd be all over that. Hey, everyone. Will has a Naked Attraction tonight. Come on, we're all in.
I'd just like to see how he plays it.
Yeah. Oh, stop.
Oh, Will, I'd have been all over that. It'd be so funny.
Naked. Have you never seen it?
I've seen it, yeah.
I've never been
aware of the rules.
Same here. And it's not me being snobby. You'd see it was on and go, fuck it, and just change over.
There's something very not sexual about it, though.
Oh, yeah, I think that's what it is.
It's weird.
It's just vulgar.
Yeah. But it's mad. Then the after thing is they go for a date. Right, so they meet them with their clothes on.
Okay.
So they know what each other looks like underneath the clothes. So there's no kind of thing. And then some of them go off and they bleed and go at it.
They go at it?
Yeah, they go hard at it. Right. And then some of them don't. The chemistry just isn't there and it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's good television. Like.
Yeah. It's great television.
It's chewing them.
I just, that day.
Yeah.
Like that day of filming that.
No.
Like hanging around in a TV studio.
Bollock naked.
Yeah.
Just you ready?
To get a chicken and stuff and sandwich.
I have to keep holding your belly in
your
hole.
Burn your hole. Yeah. Sorry, your soul.
Well, there is that. Do you know what it is? We have rapidly run out of time here. We have done over an hour now, Garode, and that's thanks to you again.
Yeah.
I say
no, but come here, it does what I haven't.
Yeah.
Because do you know what it is? We say it a lot on this. When you haven't caught up with your mate in a while that you haven't seen, it's just a chat.
And it flies by.
It just goes,
yeah, I think that's what I love about comedy as well, though. You've got so much in common with people that you know, as soon as you meet them, you're like, yeah.
You're aligned with everyone. You just know what you've gone through. 100%, Garode. But Garode, listen, for anyone out there, you are going on tour in Ireland from June onwards with no pressure.
No pressure, yeah.
And anyone we do have listeners in the UK, would you believe, Garode? So Garode is on tour in the UK with his Garode Rage show, and that starts...
That starts 15th of January, starts in Brighton and then goes to London.
Leicester Square, fucking amazing, Garode. And you've got two podcasts on the go.
Two podcasts. One for gays, one for girls.
Brilliant.
I always say.
Love that.
Gays and girls.
Gays and girls.
And is there anything else you're pleading to? Like, no, you have a day off, your old.
We're going to write a feature film, a book, DVD.
Yeah, just a nice quiet month.
Directed a film on Christmas Day. One major.
Your old Farley, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for coming.
It's been amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah.